Well, good afternoon. Daryl.
Hey, Bob, how are you doing?
Good.
Hello?
Great to hear you. My favorite team.
Oh, we're glad to hear that. We're glad to hear that. Yeah, you're our favorite coach.
Yes.
How was your week, and how are you doing? How's your progress going on segmentation?
Oh, it's going. We're making progress. We are definitely making progress.
We took note of what you said, which was that whole band-aid analogy, which was so true.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, you know what? Let's just start making these calls. So we've been doing it and just sending people on. And when there's some people, we're going to do what you said, which is introduce them in person or on the phone with the other advisor. So we haven't gotten to those people yet, but the other ones, the easier ones, we just kind of blow through.
Yeah, one of the things that we're also going to do is, by the way, Keisha, we're going to get with our manager along with one of the advisors who's a new advisor, and she has a coach. And so we're going to sit down, the five of us are going to sit down and talk through what we want. Because we don't want to hand our clients off to someone who is brand spanking new without having any oversight. So we're going to sit down and talk through that as we hand those clients on over.
Good. Yeah, it's hard for a new person getting acclimated in our business, having, they need a lot of attention. And
right.
they can be fabulous, but they're going to, just like we did, you're going to make some mistakes. So the key is if they have a mentor and a coach,
right,
keep them making fatal mistakes.
Right.
That's very important,
Right. Right. So that's
yeah.
Yeah, and we don't want to give her too many, because she's got to do prospecting as well. So we want her to have, she'll have a good foundation,
mm-hmm.
but we also don't want to overload her too. So we're sending some to the call center, some will go to, advisors, and some have elected. We're sending checks out and telling them to go to banks. We're doing a lot of that stuff, so.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for just being straight with us last week. We were fighting, kicking and screaming, but we heard you loud and clear.
Uh-huh.
And the other thing is that, our first target is about, 170, 180. And, as far as number of clients right now, but we listen to the video, and if 70 is the number, then we got to figure out how to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not a magic number I set. I don't really do much. I'm sort of the orchestra leader here. You are all playing your instruments and telling me what works best. So that's the number that comes, a lot of people have 100. A lot don't. Once you've been doing this a couple of years, you're going to want to have fewer is better in this world because mm-hmm. it takes a lot of work, and each one of those relationships is very important.
Right.
And this is the time to look at your relationships. I just got done with a team that was telling me about they have a union relationship, and they won't call them back. It produces almost $100,000 of revenues a year, and the client won't call them. Can you imagine the risk? I mean, that is not a good situation.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
This is the time to unearth those things and deal with them. If you have somebody that doesn't show you respect and isn't really treating you like an advisor, but is treating you like a croupier at the table, or somehow is just not being responsive, now's the time. Mm-hmm. You know, bring it up on the table, and I'm not saying to fire them. I'm just saying to, you know, make a real effort to get in front of them, have that meeting. And I always tell people, when you have the meeting, have the meeting as if the client's always going to say yes to everything that you suggest. So you present it just as if they're your favorite client, and they're so excited to give them this incredible level of service, how wonderful it's going to be, and then turn to them and say, you know, how does that sound? Very few people are going to be able to say, oh, that sounds terrible, I don't want it.
Yeah.
But if they do, or they say, you know, I just don't think it's for me, that may be the time to find them a new home, because those people are energy drainers.
My energy was drained yesterday. We have a client who we know has $50-60 million, and he doesn't act like he does. He is, you know, he called in this past week trying to scrounge up $400,000 from his 7 or 8 different advisors, and he has one. He's using a bank as an advisor, and he doesn't have any cash over there for some reason. And we have very little of his money. We've got like $1.5 million, a little less than $1.5 million. And he was calling us trying to get, you know, $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 from us. But the way we have it set up, we couldn't just give it to him without selling some things. So I was talking with him and Keisha and Chantel, and we've been back and forth with him about, you know, not using our resources, because, I mean, the bank really isn't a competitor of ours. And so I was explaining to him how he wants to buy, here it is, he wants to buy a bowling alley, he wants to buy a property. He was thinking about putting a bowling alley on it or a skating rink, but he doesn't know what he really wants to do, but at least he'll have the land, which is no game plan. And I was telling him, look, we need to have a game plan. This is what wealthy people have. They have game plans and have their investments based on that. So I was trying to explain that to him, and he just shut down, and it was just tough. It was just tough. And it was draining. And I had to get ready for another appointment, and I'm drained from this guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, but I don't think we've been handling him, expecting him to say yes, because he says yes, but he doesn't mean yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, here's one of the things I would try with him.
Okay.
This is a guy that sees assets as assets and not as investment. They're just tools to use to do other things. So my suggestion would be to two things. One is consolidated monthly evaluation of everything that he has.
You've been trying that.
We've been trying.
For years.
Really? Okay. All right. That's the one. This one he might like. How about secured lending? Have you ever approached him about secured lending?
I don't think we have. And I was actually thinking, this was like, when we were first going through the list of people that could be, you know, may want a loan or lend, secured lending. And I remember, Gerald, you were like, no, I don't think he would ever need that. But now that he's thinking about purchasing big purchases, maybe he would need that, because then he doesn't have to worry about finding cash. He can just do the line. But the problem, I know he's going to say the problem.
Well, the issue is, Rob, he doesn't really know what he wants. He goes and listens to everyone. So whoever gives him the best pitch, that's what he does. And then, like, Chantel and I spoke with him a couple weeks ago, and he wanted to buy beach property, but he doesn't like going to the beach. But he said that's what wealthy people do. So he doesn't know what he wants. I don't want to give him something. We don't want to give him something, and then it's going to be the next thing, and it's not going to benefit him. We're trying to get him and try to figure out, what do you want to do? We know he's a giver, and we do know that about him, but we just don't, we can't get him to just focus on one thing. He's mm-hmm. all over the place, and then he changes his mind constantly, and it's just really hard to figure out what he wants and what's going to be best for him, because he doesn't know.
Is he a little crazy?
No, he's very country.
He
I mean,
he's
yeah.
not exposed. He's
yeah.
not exposed. Like, for instance, he lives in a middle-class neighborhood, which is nothing wrong with that, but he purchases two houses right beside one another instead of having, like, an estate somewhere where he's out to himself. So, he thinks that's wealthy, though, to have two houses next to one another and a... No, he's a womanizer, though.
He loves women.
You say he's a giver. In other ways, is he a giver?
Hi, Reverend.
Rob, do you have an understanding of how he came into his possessions?
No,
he
doesn't have, nah.
Okay.
We haven't told him. He hit the lottery.
Oh, no. Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clue then.
He has no clue.
Yeah. And we're trying to help him.
Yeah,
we're trying to help
through all his money and end up with nothing like most lottery winners.
He's doing fine. He's not running through it at this point. He's not running through it. He's kind of running through it, but it's not a big, he's running through it in a different way.
Yeah, like he's not a flashy person at all. Like, you would never, you know, because people know him in town, but.
And
he's
will tell you.
And he'll
yeah,
tell
he
you.
He's rich.
But he doesn't look, you know, there's nothing about him that says, hey, like, I'm going to just throw money on this, you know, car or any of that. That's not him. However, he'll just spend money on, in not the right ways. Just like Keisha said, he'll buy property just because, or he does big purchases at random times that don't make any sense. So they're not aligned with what he wants. Like, he'll buy like a bus for a school, or he'll do, I mean, and that's okay.
And the school's in trouble financially.
Right.
And they don't have a driver.
So it's just like, he just throws money in the wrong places in the wrong way. But his generally when it comes to money, for the most part, it's because he wants to give. Like, he has a foundation. He has a foundation, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he doesn't have a lot of money.
He doesn't have a lot of money in it? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and he doesn't know what to do with the foundation.
Yeah.
He doesn't know how to use it.
So.
Yeah, I know.
It's frustrating
because we have every resource that he needs, and he's using this little local bank that really doesn't, I mean, they don't have what he needs. But he's comfortable there.
Yep.
Rob, you've never seen anybody else like this before? If so, what did you see? And how successful
have
they been?
You know, it's just the person needs to, I don't know this person, so I don't know their education and their experience. It doesn't sound like they have much of either. And
he's
so
a doctor.
No, that's honorary. Yeah. But he's a college grad.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's a college grad.
Does
he won't listen?
No,
why won't
okay.
he listen? Because he doesn't trust anybody? Does he trust anybody? He doesn't trust anybody then.
He does trust. He trusts. He has a friend of his that he trusts. And he tends to trust the last person that he talked to.
That says the best thing to him.
Yeah.
Not married, right?
No.
He's in his 60s, too.
I think he, you know, have you tried getting together the two of them, the friend and him, and talking
to them? Yeah, several times.
Yeah.
But we don't know.
You know what I'd do then? I'd do nothing. Seriously. I'd put him on the back burner and say, if he goes, good. If he doesn't, he wants to send some money, good. But I'm not going to spend any more time with him.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
That's kind of where we are.
Yeah, I'd set up 1242 with him, and if he doesn't answer the phone, he doesn't answer the phone. That's it. You know, you do your best. Do your best. Be there if he needs you, and otherwise, move on.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Yeah.
You can't make people do things. You do your best.
It's just so sad, though, because the people that he trusts, well, the people that are some of the people, how can I say this? They're not the other advices that we know of. We don't think they're advising him for him. How can I explain this, Carol?
All right, they're looking for self versus looking in him. For example, he had more money with us. He had, and this was about 6 years ago. He had municipal bonds paying, you know, 5%. I mean, beautiful bond portfolio. Well, he talked to this guy who told him to put about $3 million in a real estate investment trust, limited partnership, whatever it was. So he took these beautiful bonds, sold them off, put them in this real estate investment trust. You know, and of course the advisor got a big fee, and then that was it.
And he stuck it.
And he stuck.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, he's got enough money, he can make some mistakes, but those are the kind of mistakes that people that won't listen or don't really have good sense will do. I mean, it's just, they don't know our business.
Yeah.
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 Does he tend to read?
No.
No.
Rob, I was trying to take in what's in the literature out there that's simplified.
Literature for what? What do you mean?
These kinds of experiences, people who came into possession of something and
usually the average inheritance lasts 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
That's how long a typical lottery winner takes to go through their money.
Mm-hmm. So it won't be him that goes through his money, it'll be his children.
Yeah, they'll have a. Well, you know, you do your best. Does he care about his children?
He cares.
Yeah.
He lost one. He lost a son. Was that last year, 2 years ago?
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And he's not well either. He is not.
Are the kids okay? Kids, or are they trouble?
We haven't even
met them.
We don't know how many kids he actually has. We don't know how many kids he actually has.
Well, he doesn't talk about them often. Like, he has a daughter, I think, that he thinks highly of, but he doesn't really like dote over his kids. So that's why we're not really sure the relationship there. I don't think it's a perfect relationship, but it's. I don't think it's like particularly really bad or either. So,
well, that's your angle.
The children.
That's your angle. Working with the kids, getting the kids to talk to dad, getting dad to talk to you about the kids, and making it a family, and using the money to put them on the board of the foundation and have annual meetings and really turn it into something worthwhile. The kids are smart. They'll understand financial planning. They'll understand that it's in their best interest for dad not to be stupid.
Well, I think they're kind of on the same category as the daddy.
Yeah. They don't know They don't know much. Okay. So.
And they don't know they don't know.
You can only do what you can do, and you only have so much time in the world. And, you know, part of what we look for in prospects is that, you know, I like them, they like me, I trust them, they trust me. I listen to them, and they listen to me. And they have the capability of doing it. So if they don't fall in that category, they're not an account.
Right.
Yeah.
Probably do best seriously to reassign them to somebody else.
We'll give them a few years.
Yeah.
Unless he fires them. He could move his money.
Give that message and say, look, you know, we think that you should have one advisor that you really trust. We clearly aren't that one. So we'd like to know who you want us to send the money to.
Chantel wants to ask him the question, and the more I think about it, the more I think it's a good question. Why do you have money with us? You know, why? For what?
You know, a lot of times when you push somebody away, that's when they want to come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you say, you need one advisor that does a financial plan and does a good job for you. Somebody you can really trust that is credible and has a great reputation in the community. Tell us who that is, and we'll send the money to them.
Carol's not going to see that.
We have to think about it, but I think it's a good point. Yeah.
I think at some point we're going to have to.
Yeah.
I really do.
You're going to have a talk.
Yes.
It's not working.
Things are happening with us that are of concern to you.
Yeah, you know, one thing that I haven't talked to him about, and I don't know if y'all have, for example, he has money at a local bank, and instead of him, and the bank told him, in order to keep this money safe, you need to put it in the names of some other people. So he took the money that he had and made joint accounts out of 10 or 20 different accounts so that he could be covered.
I didn't know that.
Gary told him that, yeah.
Insurance bonds.
Yeah. That's me.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
That's some really nice.
I mean, but he followed it. He did it.
Who's a lawyer in town that has some credibility? I mean, he needs some good
advice. He fired him. He fired him because he was charging him $100,000 a year to help him manage $50 million.
But you said that was like the best thing he could have done.
That was the best person to help him.
Yeah. And ever since then, he's had health issues. He's been in and out of the hospital. He was running around yesterday trying to scrounge up $400,000 because he didn't have a game plan.
Mm-hmm.
He has no game plan.
I threatened to fire him. You got nothing but trouble with this guy. Fire him, and if he won't, he says, wait a minute, now why are you going to fire me? I like you guys. I say, well, you don't show it.
That's what I told
him. Keisha already told him that. We just haven't fired him. Because we really do care about him. It's not like somebody we don't care about. We care about him. He doesn't look at us as serious advisors. He looks at us as a stop-by place. He can do a drive-by, look at the pretty girls in the office, and then go on about his business until he's ready to see somebody else again. And that's it.
Well, I mean, you're going to have these people in your world, and it's your choice to keep them or not. But, I mean, to me, simplify your business by having only people that listen to you.
Yeah.
Makes an awful lot of sense, and it makes your life better, and you won't have a bad day again.
That's right.
He didn't ruin my day now. He ruined about 30 minutes of it. Nobody going to ruin my
But it was
no.
It was raining. I was in the office with Gerald when he was talking with him. He was on the phone. And it was they don't have chemistry. There's no chemistry there between the client and Gerald. And I just feel like with your advice, you need to have some type of chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
I do a fill or kill. Either you want us or you don't. And tell us who you admire, who you want to, who you like, who you trust. We'll send the money to them.
Hey, remember.
All right.
Serious.
You confirmed it for us.
Fill or kill. All right.
Yeah, you want to go through and not only, you know, fire the people that are too small, but fire the people that don't listen to you. Then you end up with a practice that you love. Every day you come in and people are valuing you. You know, if you said to me all the time, we're not going to do that. You know, no, we're not going to do that. No, no, we're not going to do that. How much fun would it be for me to coach you?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't.
And why would we pay you to tell you we're not going to do what we're paying? What we're paying?
Yeah, he's not used to discipline. He's not. That's
discipleship.
Yeah.
Ooh,
that's
and
good.
He's not listening.
And he's a preacher.
Well, doesn't mean
just because
that
you have
a title
doesn't mean
nothing
that you know.
Yes,
sure. Mhm. Wow. Yeah.
This was confirmed.
Well, thank you.
You always want what you can't have, so you just tell him, I'm sorry, you can't have this. And he'd be like, wait a minute, I've got $50 million. I'm sorry, we don't care.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, please, please. All right, Seth, give it all to us then. We want it all or nothing.
And not.
All right.
That's right.
That's
right.
I want to be a part of his downfall.
Look at Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be part of the downfall because eventually the writing is on the wall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you don't want your name associated with that. If he'll listen.
Yeah.
He's not listening.
Yep.
He's had plenty of opportunities.
But on the other hand, he's probably broadcasting you as his financial advisor without talking about the other group. But if you talk about a Morgan Stanley, that's understandable.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about some of the others, especially the bank that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
the joint accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's scary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You're right.
Well, anyway. Because that ends up, you know, when he loses that money, he's going to turn around and sue some people, and you'd be at the top of the list.
Yeah. And he may be saying now that he's getting advice from you to say.
Right, but he's not taking it.
Banking situation.
They'll look at the record and say, you know, he sold those bonds. That was stupid. You did this. You know, I want my bonds back.
But we didn't sell them. He took them over somewhere else and sold them. Yeah, he took them in kind and had them sold over there.
That's even worse, right?
It was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, because that guy...
He took 5% tax-free money and exchanged it for 7% taxable. That is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen.
Wow. That's not...
Whether you talk about that... A summary of...
Say that again?
I said, what about the spreads he made on the sale of the bonds, too?
Right. Really?
That's why they put it in concert. He didn't get that commission.
Yeah,
he got a little more spread than he'd have made with you guys, I'll tell you that.
We have plenty of reasons to let him go. He's given us enough ammunition to let him go.
Well, you're going to feel great when you do
it. Be at a loss. Would you be at a loss if he left you?
Would we be at a loss in terms?
Loss in terms of any resources or incentives from him.
Of money, no.
Benefits.
He pays us. You know what? I don't know, 14 grand a year.
I think he said 14, 15.
Yeah, 14, 15 grand a year. You know, so that's...
Yeah, you're an angel.
You'll make it up.
Rob, it's very draining because I'm usually the one that talks to him the most.
And just think about how much time you spend talking to him.
It's just,
how many hours do you think you spend a month talking to him per month?
It was when we were doing the Pinnacle Care. It was like 3 or 4 hours sometimes a week sometimes.
Okay.
A lot.
Yeah.
It's fun to keep up, start making
Well, it ain't happening anymore because I mean, I had a talk with him, so you can't do that.
Because what he would do, Rob, he would call me and want me to set up appointments for him. Outside of Morgan Stanley. He was using me. He wanted me to be his personal assistant.
Sure. You know, people will ask for anything. You don't have to give it to them.
That's right. That's right.
All right, well, we
made a decision on this. Okay. All right, let's keep going. I don't want to stay stuck on him. See, he's burning our time now.
Cousin Louie, you know, everybody's spending
the
whole
time. To let you know that we're pretty caught up with the folders are they're working on the folders. Got a lot done last week. So we're moving forward. We don't have the board yet, and that's something that I do want us to work on, so that we can have the activities that we need. What else have we done?
How about the scheduling? Working on that too.
Social media is it up and running or almost up and running?
Almost up and running. Just getting all the approvals.
Okay. Keisha's going to meet her deadline, which is Friday.
Good.
Yep.
All right. So we're working.
We're making progress.
Good.
The biggest thing that held us up that we're working on, we've already talked about, and that's segmentation, just getting it down.
Yep. And once you're there, and you're free.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It really is. Mm-hmm. No question about it.
So, Rob, I have a question. So, is this our last weekly call?
This is our last weekly call. Then we go to monthly calls.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So on the monthly calls, we can do a couple different things. One, we could work on. I would suggest probably spending most of the time on marketing. We haven't spent much time on the marketing ideas. You know, formalizing that piece. You know, when you look at the 5-star model, that's where we build our business plan around the 5-star model. So planning, the director of planning, that's a matter of examining which clients have a plan, which need a plan. Are we doing everything we should through that planning process? Then the implementation, Vice President Implementation, does the 24-month calendar, so that we have meaningful conversations with our clients and that we are fully implementing the plans and executing them to our 12 scheduled appointments, which brings us to our vice president or director of brand management, which is Supernova Service plus Operations. And that is, you know, that's a whole business plan under that. Where are we now? Where do we need to be? And then director of marketing is, all right, what's our marketing plan? and how are we executing on, there's seven different strategies that we could adopt. Are we adopting those seven, all of them, or are we focusing on five of them? And then where do we want to be at the end of the ninth month? We've got nine sessions to go. And then the director of leadership makes sure that everybody is accountable, that you're doing your monthly conversations with each member of the team. They've got their goals. You're monitoring their goals. You're monitoring their progress and helping them to develop personally and professionally. So that's a simple look at what a business plan would look like under the five-star model. We can have you report in based on that model. So the vice president of planning would give me an update every month on how you're doing versus your plan, versus your goals in planning, and so forth. So each person would report in.
So I have a question. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ron.
So that's a model that I like, and I think that would be good for your organization and what you're doing and roles and responsibilities would sort of reinforce that. But, you know, you guys tell me what you want to get out of the next 9 months and how you want it to, you know, at the end of the ninth month, you know, you take your business plan to your manager and say, hey, we just spent a year coaching with Supernova. This is who we are. This is what we've accomplished. And we're real proud of it. We want you to be excited about it because this is what we've done, you know. So that I want you to be able to do that and then, you know, be very excited about the next year.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. So that's.
Okay. All right. You got the seven?
No, I don't know. Rob.
When you talked about marketing, the seven different strategies, I just don't remember them. What are they?
All right, so the seven strategies are starting out with the first one, I call it the 96-4-2-2-1 model, okay? The 96-4-2-2-1 model. And the 90 is the 90-day free look. And that's for the guy that, for the prospect that you have on the books that you just haven't been able to push him over the edge.
Okay.
So you just give him Supernova for 90 days. Pretty about as simple as that. There's some more details, but I can go into those later.
Okay.
Six centers of influence. You want to have six legitimate centers of influence that like you, trust you, and are willing to send you business without you asking.
Okay.
Four, you want to have four people in a mastermind group. I just got done interviewing a guy in New York who probably has the best mastermind group I've ever heard of. He has 10 people in it. He makes them sign a contract. They must attend 80% of the meetings. We meet once a month for breakfast for an hour and a half at each person's business. They've been doing it for almost 10 years now.
Wow.
And this is where he gets most of his business comes through this 10-person mastermind group.
Wow.
He values it mostly for their intellectual capital.
Okay.
Meaning, everybody goes into it with the purpose of helping each other.
Hmm?
Anyway, I can go into that some more, but the mastermind group is really brilliant and critical.
Mm-hmm.
His focus is around technology. Yours could be around anything. But mm-hmm. the next is two niches.
Right.
Two niches that are targeted. You know, you want to have, you know where the money is. It's within a nest of people. You want to have that be your niche, and you you target that.
Okay.
All right. You want to have two, which you do beautifully, two social or charitable boards that you're on. One is for philanthropic, could be the arts. And I just suggest this to people because of, you know, that's where the money is in many cases.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where the symphony or the opera or whatever. And then one charitable organization, United Way, the Heart Association, et cetera. And that's mm-hmm. where usually there's also quite a bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, the one is your social networking through LinkedIn and Facebook.
Okay.
That was interesting because I was reading an interview that I did with this guy at the beginning of the year, and in rereading it, I recognized the fact he said what he looks for is anybody that's having a financial event, meaning they're selling their business or something significant is going on, he'll then look them up on LinkedIn, find out who is connected to them that he knows. Because he's done so many nice things for people in the community and he knows these people, he calls them and says, would you introduce me to this fellow? And the guy usually says, yes, of course, introduces him, and that's how he gets quite a few of his clients.
Uh-huh.
So that's the best ways to use LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's good. I was just, as you talked, I just whispered to Chantel that the property that our client is trying to buy, we need to find out who owns it.
Right, because they're going to get an event, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
True.
So,
yeah.
All right, and then that's six ideas. The final one, the seventh one, is the VIPSA. By Bill Cates. Get more referrals now from his book.
Yeah, we got it.
So that's the seven strategies that we recommend for building your practice.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. It does.
Okay.
That's great.
So we can remember, I've done a webinar with slides on each one of those strategies.
Okay.
I have a question, Rob.
On the website that
okay.
you can tune in and say, you know, I want to know a little more about that niche marketing idea or the mastermind group or whatever, and we go into that in some detail. More detail okay. than I can do in a session. It's got some more ideas than just simply what I put in the workbook and what I can give you over the phone.
So how do you suggest we do these webinars? Do we need to do them prior to our meeting, a week before our meeting, or what do you suggest?
I would take them one at a time and have the group sit and watch it and talk about it. And say, does this make sense for our team to do? And if it does, then how are we going to do it? Who's responsible? And what's our timeline for achieving it?
Okay. Here's what I want you to do, Keisha. Set up a time where we can get together, do the webinar in the big conference room down there so that we can see it all together on the screen. Okay. I don't know how to work it, but I guess John, somebody, yeah, y'all can figure it out. Okay. But let's do that. Let's have it. You know, if it's at the beginning of a month, you know, it could be the first Friday of the month or whatever, you know. But let's do that so that we can then look at it.
Okay.
Is a Friday better than a Monday, or a Monday better than a Friday, or Tuesday? Tuesday better than is Tuesday better than Friday?
For what? For watching something?
Look at the webinar as a team.
Yeah, it's better than Friday because half the time, you know, people want to.
Friday, you're checking out. Yeah, so we'll do it on Tuesday. We can do it Tuesday afternoon. What's the matter with you?
Okay. Why why are you looking? Because Fridays are on lighter days, and I'm just thinking about this schedule. That's awesome.
But Fridays, when everybody's checked out.
You do it Friday morning when you come in.
He said Tuesdays are better than Fridays.
Okay.
I have a question regarding the webinars. I don't know if anyone asked this. Keisha, did you ask about the access to the site?
No, that was my question. But you can go ahead because you went onto the website and couldn't get access.
Yeah, so Rob, when we go on the website to create a login, we actually have to put our payment information in there to do that.
If you have a problem with the web, with our website, call Cindy Bowie, B-E-U-O-Y.
We have her information.
Just call her and say we're having trouble getting on.
Okay.
Email me what the resolution was, because I can't stand it when I hear this.
Okay.
Oh.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Sounds good.
Right,
we'll do it.
Be a problem. Paid, you should be able to just get on and watch them whenever you want to.
Right, that's what I was going to say. Okay.
Yeah, you get a sign in, and you just use that sign in every time, and you should be able to get on easy.
Okay, cool.
If it's hard, then tell me, and I'll tell Cindy to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
All righty. We just ran out of time. I appreciate it, and I will talk to you next month.
So Lori's going to email us. I guess I need to get Lori to find out the time then.
Yeah, we probably keep the time pretty much the same.
Okay, cool.
That makes it easier for you.
It does.
It would just be once a month instead of once a week.
Got it.
Great.
Thank you, Rob.
Thanks, Rob.
Have a good
4. All right.
Okay.
Talk to you.
All right.
Rob.
Yes.
Hello? What information have you found on robotics that's interesting?
Well, the more I read, the more interesting it is. The companies that I...
Are you okay?
Hang on, I'm looking for my portfolio. Told you, I got a client that's a MIT graduate that up in Boston who... is the coach of a robotics team. And so when he decided to go to work for Merrill Lynch, I said, you should build a portfolio on robotics stocks.
Uh-huh.
And use your MIT legacy and leverage that. So that's what we've done.
Okay.
And, of course, I take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
My mom and dad raised no dummies.
I love it.
So, artificial intelligence, the ones I bought were Adobe, ServiceNow, a company called Splunk, S-P-L-K, a company called Zendex, Z-E-N, and HubSpot, H-U-B-S. And I always tell people, you don't buy one of anything. You know, you buy a package.
Right.
I bought a package of biotechnology companies, and I did real well because I didn't sell them. You know, I kept them. And some go up, some go down, but overall they do pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Robotics companies, Microsoft, CRM, Amazon, and Google are the big ones. The smaller ones are iRobot, IRBT, Mazor, M-A-Z-O-R. Um, I didn't buy this Fanuc, F-A-N-U-C. I don't know that one that well. I also bought the Ford of Zendesk.
That's interesting. Amazon, a robotics company?
Well, Amazon is an artificial intelligence company and a robotics company. They use an enormous number of robotics in their warehouses.
Okay. Okay, so not just those who create robots, but those who are users of robotics.
Right, right. And, you know, there's many, many others, Parker Hannifin, Teradyne, Northrop Grumman, Moog, Lockheed Martin, Intuitive Surgical, Honeywell, Google, Emerson, Eaton, Boeing, Black Knight, Apple, Analog Devices, Amazon. Those are all artificial intelligence companies. They're utilizing artificial intelligence, and some of them are using, many of them are using robotics at the same time. Mm. So you can't really separate the two. Artificial intelligence is critical to robotics and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Okay.
All right. Cool. Cool.
Yeah. It's a pretty interesting, and there's no ETFs for it yet or any of that, so I think it's still in the infancy, and everybody thinks it's way mature and forget it. It's too late.
Right.
Stocks are. I'm in the opposite camp.
Mm-hmm.
I think that people don't even recognize it as an industry, and
mm-hmm.
They're not convinced these things are real. You know, they're all skeptics. As long as that's the case, then we're still good. You know, we're still in the infancy.
Well, I know we are. My daughter works for one of these companies, and she was telling me, and I don't know the numbers, the exact numbers, but I know the concept. And what she said was that, you know, they make these widgets, and it would take somebody working an 8-hour shift might do 300, 400, 500 widgets, but in 8 hours, and it takes the robots 1 hour to make like thousands.
Wow.
You know, it's something along those lines. It's amazing, and that's going to mean something for our workforce too.
Yep.
At some point. So I'm thinking along those lines. What does all of that mean for the workforce? And I know it means that people are going to have to be technically trained. They have to be skillful, because that's the problem. We're running out of skilled workers. So, you know, all of that is meaningful. And so, you know, that's what I'm trying to work through.
So far, it's done nothing but leverage the workforce. I mean, yes, some simple jobs have been eliminated, but, you know, you as a person today are so much more productive than you used to, you know, you were 20 or 30 years ago in terms
sure.
of just using Google, for example. I mean,
mm-hmm.
just using
yeah.
that, and then being able to research a company in 2 seconds, you can get an awful lot of information. So your ability to leverage the computer and the internet and the cloud make yeah. your job so much easier. And just to do a financial plan, you used to have to send it away and wait 3 weeks and get it back, and most of us can get it done, you know, right away. So things have changed for the better, and, you know, I'm an optimist and a believer, and I think that it's going to get nothing but better and better. I think it's deflationary. I think the cost
I agree.
Of products and service will go down. So I think that that's actually a wonderful thing for the most part, especially for all these retired people. You know, they're in, unless they need to buy bonds. That's the only problem. It's hard to buy debt and get a decent return on it. But
Right.
I think I'm a huge optimist. You know, and I love days like yesterday where they sell it off and then it comes screaming back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these companies aren't going anywhere.
Right.
So, you know, I think you can you can have a good time. You don't have to pay full price for any of them. You can wait till they have one of those days and then buy in. But,
right.
You know, I think that, you know, you and the greatest thing is we don't have to be in New York City anymore to have the,
right.
you know, the best ideas. You know, we
right.
get great ideas everywhere in Indianapolis, Indiana, and Columbia, South Carolina, or anywhere. You can be at the cutting edge of what's going on. You just have to be an eager learner and keep reading, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, if Warren Buffett can get information in the middle of the country, we can get it. We can
right.
get it everywhere. Yeah.
So do some homework. I'd love to share portfolios with you. You know, if you come up with other ones that your company likes, I'd be really interested in seeing what their thoughts are. People are writing about this now, and I think it's a great time, and it's a time where actually, you know, we need some advice. It's a great, because most people can't go in there and buy these things. You know, they don't know what to buy.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Okay.
Okay, fine. So, Rob, you know I used to live in Indy.
Did you?
This is Keisha talking. I sure did.
Where did you live?
You know where the girls' school is?
Downtown?
There's only one girls' school. The girls' school, you know, Girls' School Road?
No.
On the west side, you know where Ben Davis is? Ben Davis?
Yeah. Oh.
Down the street, that's Girls' School Road. I live right across the street from the girls' school itself.
Oh, that's right. That's great.
Yeah. So where do you live?
I live in Carmel, Indiana. North of
I love Carmel, Indiana. I used to love going to the Keystone at the Crossing.
Yeah, you know, it's changed so much. I came here in 85, and what a nice town it is now. And
you came and when?
We're the roundabout capital of the world here in Carmel. We have more roundabouts than I think they have in England.
Wow, they were starting that when I was there. My dad used to run the prison system there in Indy.
Really? Wow.
He did. You remember when Tyson was there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my dad ran the system when Tyson was there.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was downtown at the hotel there. That was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, there's some crazy people that have come through this town.
Yeah.
Don't you talk about her daddy like that.
His autograph when he checked him in?
Oh.
No, not quite. But he was at the boys' school. He wasn't in the adult prison. They had him in the boys' school, in the juvenile.
Oh, that's good. That's better. That's good work there. They can see.
Small, small world.
Well, we'll see you. Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye. Bye.